Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in. You know, I just want to share a thought with you that I believe is from heaven. When you were singing, when you were singing about the love of God, heaven, you could feel the pleasure of heaven, and the joy of heaven. You all were worshiping in the most genuine way. That it's like God stood up from his throne and went, "Ooh, what is that?" And see, when you worship God like that, we say he draws close to us, but the truth is really that we drew close to him. Amen? Yeah, yeah. Well done, well done. Kirsten, well done. Well done. Bailey, well done. Yeah, Dave, well done. Kevin, you're doing a great job. Great job pastoring your team. And thank you, thank you, thank you. So, hey, one of the things, we got to do a little bit of spiritual family business right now. For those of you that are visiting or are still relatively new to City Church, you know, as with any family, things change, right? Janice and I, it's like we had two litters. We had our first two. What's that? You're like, yeah, but you're a cute little animal. Yeah. That plays with dolls during church, you know. But no, it's like we had two litters. And so Jackie and Ben, although we were all living under the same roof at one point for about, I don't know, probably 7-10 years, something like that. Yeah, because well, it doesn't matter. But then we had the second set of kids, first Ben and Jackie, and then Caleb, Joshua, and Conlon. Yes, that's right. Yeah. And you know, in our first litter, there were just four of us in the house. The kids did not outnumber the parents. And, you know, we were in pretty good shape. In this second litter, they outnumber us. It has a very different dynamic. It's very different watching three kids than it is watching two. Now, I'm saying that not for Janice and I, but for babysitter's sake. We had a season where, hey, could you watch our kids? No. No, I mean, seriously, no. No. They eat way too much. But the dynamic in the house changed. Going from two kids to five kids to three kids at home. Now, Jackie does her best to make sure it doesn't feel like she's away because she makes an effort to be there a lot, and she eats a lot when she's there. And when Ben comes, he makes up for the time he wasn't there, you know. But it's fantastic. I love family. I love our children. I love my natural family. I love my spiritual family. And dynamics change. And we couldn't live, you know, Ben did the weed eating when he was there, right? And when he moved, he no longer did the weed eating. And if I would have continued to rely on him to do the weed eating or look to him or somehow longed for him to return to do the weed eating, How many of you know I'd had a lot of weeds at my house, right? But instead, that responsibility transitioned to Caleb, and then to Caleb and Joshua, and now they do all the weed eating, right? Here's my point. My point is that we're a family, and there's transitions that take place. And it's important for us, when the transition takes place, to think through, to navigate through correctly that transition. And so we've had people that have been part of the family and then are no longer in the house anymore. We still love them. We still bless them. We still, they're still part of who we are. They're just not part of the house. They're not functioning in the house. And we can't ask them to do the weed eating if they're not here. And we can't keep our hearts tied to them doing the weed eating. You understand? Sitting here wondering, or else we're going to get a whole lot of weeds. Well, so a couple... Hey, Kevin, could you... I don't know how to shut that fan off. Could you shut that off, please? So just as a matter of spiritual protocol, it's important for us to recognize who is doing what, just like it's important for me to recognize who's doing the weed eating at my house and empower them to do that. If I said to Caleb and Joshua, hey, that's Ben's job. Yeah, you can do it. You can kind of fill in. But it's not empowering them correctly. It's not recognizing them correctly, right? And we've had a transition in our worship. We've had those who have been part of our worship for years and years and years who haven't been with us for the last couple years. But here's what we discovered, because I tasked Kevin, because, we're missing some pieces. We're missing a drummer. We're missing some horns. We're missing more guitar players and keyboard players. We're missing more singers. And he asked me, he said, Pastor, what do you think's going on? I said, listen, here's what you need to do. You need to go into heaven and find out what the argument is. And we discovered what that argument was. The argument was that we've kind of been longing for those who have been gone and not recognized who we have here. And that's done two things. It's disempowered the people that are here, but it's also created a dynamic where, well, even if you come, you're not going to be recognized. You're not going to be empowered because they're still longing for what was instead of what God has given now. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And this applies not just to worship, but with worship, it's so obvious because it's in front of us every week, right? And so what we need to do just as a congregation together is just to bless those who have been here, but release them just in our hearts. I mean, obviously they're not functioning here, and Kevin's doing a great job raising up a team and all of that, but I think there has been a hindrance, there's been a lid on top of him and the team just because of our sentiment. Does that make sense? The enemy will use your sentiment to hold you back, to keep you from the highest and best that God wants. Even as a corporate body, being City Church, it's important for us to make those transitions, to navigate those transitions correctly. And you say, well, why is God bringing this up now? Because we've grown to the place where we can hear him on this and we can respond correctly. So just stand up with me. If you're part of City Church, either by regularly or just part of our family, would you join with me in this? And here's all I want you to do. For those who have served here in this house, who are no longer here, before heaven and earth, we bless you. Would you just say that with me right now? For all those who have served here in this house and are no longer here, we bless you with every heavenly blessing, with every earthly blessing. We are grateful for what you have done here. But now we choose to recognize what is true, that you are not here. And so we release you completely and fully into the next season of your life where you are not part of this house. And we declare over those who are part of this house that they are positioned here by God for the purpose of growing, being part of this family, and serving this house. And we bless you, and we are grateful for you. And now we speak to those who have not yet come, and we put a call out into the atmosphere to come, and we will recognize you. We will empower you, for we have learned how to transition. Correctly. And you don't have to say it crying. Yeah, it's just, I'm having a moment. But I'm grateful for those who are here. You bless my life. Me. I'm not just speaking for the house, I'm speaking for me as a spiritual papa here. I love to hear you sing. And you did so brilliantly today. I think I might have even heard Thomas sing a few notes. Come on, somebody. Someone give God a hand clap right now. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Yeah, just before we move on, I just want to be sensitive to Holy Spirit. If there's anything, you know, the enemy is low down. Will use even the most sensitive things where you're vulnerable. He'll use that to somehow get you off your kingdom game, to somehow get you to where you can't flow and function, learn and grow in the kingdom, explore in the kingdom. And he is just ruthless like that. He'll use the things you love the most to just get in your heart and just look. The enemy doesn't care whether you call yourself a Christian. He really doesn't care whether you go to church or not. He doesn't care whether you worship or not. He doesn't care that you read your Bible or not. What he really is concerned about, if you draw up very close to God, and out of that relationship with him, you flow and function the kingdom on the earth. Because remember what Jesus taught us to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's our job. That's our responsibility. All of those things are necessary. Please hear me on this. It's necessary to come to church. Maybe I should adjust the way I'm saying it. It's necessary to come and be the church. Yes. It's necessary to worship. It's necessary to read your Bible. Yes. It's necessary to pray. But if all of that isn't causing a release of the kingdom of God here on the earth, the enemy's okay with all that stuff. Because, listen, eventually we all have an end to the time we are here on the earth. The question is, how did you affect the earth with the time you were here? Did you just cruise through it? Because the enemy's okay if you do that. He doesn't get too bent out of shape if you go to heaven. He'd rather you didn't, because he can't stand you. But where he hates you even more is if you start messing with others. Yeah. because it causes the king. Because see, you're eventually going to, you understand, time will have an end. And if you don't affect anyone else, okay, you were here and gone. Now, and the darkness operates in the eternal realm, right? And so it's not real concerned, as long as Christians don't affect the earth with the kingdom of God, eventually he can do some things to just remove or squelch their whole effect on the earth. That's always his mindset. His mindset is to remove the effect. Why? Because if we increase the kingdom of God continually on the earth, and that is an absolute, that is what occurs. Because God does raise up sons and daughters who operate in the kingdom of God, who operate from the eternal realm to the realm of time, from heaven to earth, and release the kingdom of God on the earth. When you have people like that, the kingdom can't help but increase on the earth. However, what the enemy is banking on is that he can just get you enough off of your game, if you will, so you don't affect others, so he can maintain his grip here on the earth. So that the kingdom of darkness has a continual flow of those who... Satan's not looking for people that are obedient to him. He just wants you not to be obedient to God. He doesn't care what else you do. You can pick out another religion if you want to. You can be real religious. Matter of fact, he kind of likes that. You understand? Because, that's a different message. All right. I need to back up. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. The solution to ending the reign of darkness on the earth is one very, very, very simple thing. It's just really one thing. Everyone say one thing.
One thing.
You see, when God the Father, God the Son, and God Holy Spirit, before they created the universe, they're in this most amazing love relationship, agape kind of relationship, where the Father loves the Son and the Son loves the Father. The Father loves Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit loves the Father. Holy Spirit loves the Son and the Son loves Holy Spirit. It's this beautiful, the word is literally perichoresis. That's the Greek word for that kind of triune love. And it's perfect, and it's pure, and it's beautiful, and everything that is ever needed is found in that love relationship. But here's the interesting thing about that love is it's so powerful that it cannot be contained. And what happens is when you have that kind of love, it continually grows, because as you love, as you see, because love is not just receiving, it is giving. It is self-giving, self-sharing, sacrificial kind of love, right? And so when you love like that, it causes you to grow in who you are. It makes greater capacity. Well, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are absolutely, I mean, they don't grow, they are infinite. But their love still grows, right? And so what occurred in their most brilliant, perfect thinking, they said, we will create. Well, they'll create what? Everything. With one intent. That they would create sons and daughters. That growing love can reach out with that tentacle and connect to. And cause that increase of love to have a place to land. It's kind of like, have you ever seen an octopus's arm? You know how it has the suckers on the bottom? It's like there's a tentacle that reaches out with a big sucker on it. Come here, Josh. Here, stand over here. How many love Josh? And so you know, the love of the Father can't help but reach out and attaches like this to the Son. And his love doesn't just receive from the Son. First, he gives to the Son. He gives his love, right? And as he gives his love, what happens is the love grows on the inside of a son, and it begins to flow back to the Father, right? And the Father receives the love of the Son through intimacy and through obedience, right? We learned about that last time I preached, that safe place, right? And that love begins to flow. But what happens then, once it fills this creature, then it grows to the capacity that it starts to grow tentacles. And now his arm reaches out. His tentacle reaches out. Good. Tell someone to come. Who? Conley. So his tentacle grows out. Now he and I, we've got this love relationship flowing back and forth. And then the love of the Father flowing through him reaches out. No, on his heart. Only on the heart, not his shoulder. No, that was a prophetic statement right there. See, oftentimes the love of man reaches out and grabs the shoulder, which is the responsibility place of the man. And when we think that God is just attaching to us for what we do for him, and that's not what he's after. What we do for him flows out of that, right? But this is the heart connection. This is the genuine connection right here. So now man begins to connect to man in a right love relationship, an agape love relationship. And the love, and listen, so these guys aren't the same. I promise you, they are not the same. They do not think the same. And they have different opinions, believe it or not, okay? And they're brothers, by the way. And so, yeah, they are. Do they look alike? No, okay, all right. So what happens is the love of God begins to flow, and there's conflict, and they have to navigate through that conflict, which requires them to grow as human beings, right? And to deal with that stuff. And so he begins to grow, and he begins to grow, and he and that love flows back. And then what happens? What happens is the love reaches this incredible place of fullness. And what happens? Their two other tentacles begin to reach out. Go ahead, reach out and grab someone. Go ahead, Conlon. No, he gets sissy. All right, there you go. Oh. Heart on the heart. There you go. Yeah. Do you see what's happening? Now the love of God begins to flow. Now here's the problem. Here's the problem that this connection, this heart connection, is absolutely critical. Right? And you say, well, you know, if this happens and there's a continual increase, because now these two are loving and the love of the Father is flowing. And of course the Father then connects directly with them because my love follows and I connect with another son and I connect with a daughter, the Father, and the Father connects with another son, right? And the love of the Father's flowing through them and flowing back, and they're growing and increasing. They're being challenged. Because how many of you know when you love someone, you're going to be challenged? You know, I hear people say, I don't know, that's not true. Yeah, it's because you never had kids. You know what I'm talking about. Although you have pets, so I'm not going there. Anyway, all right. And so their love grows. Go ahead, let it grow. Let it grow. Let it grow. Good. We have to pick someone. Turn around, face people. There you go. Oh, that's not fair. But it's true. It's true. Agape love should flow through a husband-wife relationship as well. Amen? Do you see the process? Now here's what you got to be careful of. What you have to be careful of is the heart connection. Because God's tentacle, if you will, is organic. It flows out of who the Father is, right? But where that connection connects into Joshua, that is a choice. I will not force. I will love him no matter what. No matter what he is, no matter what he does, his successes, his failures, his accomplishments, his doing good, doing bad, it doesn't matter who he is. It doesn't matter if he messes with who he is. It doesn't matter. I love this boy Joshua, this man Joshua. You understand? He can't mess up my love for him. He can mess up his love connection and his ability to feel that love from me. Are you with me? So here's what we have to be very careful of. The connection where we connect to God, once we have that initial connection, we have to be very careful of that connection. My father had leukemia, and he had to have a port. They put a line directly into his bloodstream, and it sticks out so they can put medicine in or chemotherapy or whatever it was. And they had to be very careful every day, sometimes multiple times a day, to clean that area around that port because infection could very easily occur right there. Because that's a very sensitive place. That connection is a very sensitive place. You all know what I'm talking about. Your love that you receive from God and that you give to God is a very sensitive place. And you have to be very careful to keep infection away from that. What is infection? Infection is any thinking that is contrary to God. Does that make sense? And so it's important for us in our love with the Father and our love with each other, that we keep infection away from that. You know, when I'm receiving love from someone, that love connection can get infected. And if I'm not careful, I allow thoughts about them that damages my heart connection with them. Husbands and wives, do you know what I'm talking about? It's very easy to. All we have to do is not be intentional. All we have to do is just not clean this thing regularly. Not do what we need to just keep this a priority, right? Does this make sense? Thank you, guys. Give them a hand clap. They did good. All right. Now, I say that to give you the big picture. This is what God's all about. The stars, the moon, the sun, the earth, the mountains, the streams, the rivers, the oceans. It's all a backdrop for this. This is what he's after. Not just for the ones who are with him now, but for all those who are not, all the lost sons and daughters that are not yet sons and daughters. Do you understand? And if we are careful about this connection, then our tentacles begin to grow, and they grow more and more and more. Debbie's tentacles grow towards Lori. And if they're careful, then their love will grow. If your love is not growing toward the Father, toward Jesus, toward Holy Spirit, all the Godhead, if your love is not growing, or toward each other, then there is something that is causing that disconnect, And it is within your power to affect it. You can't change how they respond to you, but you can change how you love them. It's a real easy tendency. Somebody does you wrong. Mm-mm. Oh, you do me wrong. Nope. Done with you. Done with you. You had one chance. But when Peter addressed that to Jesus, because Peter was losing some heart connection with some who it was probably the other disciples that Peter was talking about when he said, well, Jesus, how many times do you really need to forgive? People say, well, it's 490 times. No, that's not what he said. He said 70 times 7. Seven is the number of perfection. 70 is the number of perfection with the number 10 added to it. And I believe the number 10 speaks of royalty. And so what he was saying is not only does your forgiveness need to be perfect or complete or mature, but it marks you as being a royal son and daughter of God. You understand, even a prince, when a prince is walking in his father's kingdom, when a prince speaks, he's carrying the weight of the father, of the king. Are you with me? Does this make sense? And when you hold unforgiveness, you are marked with a different mark. The mark of royalty is removed from you. I'm speaking to someone here right now. And so when you carry bitterness, you carry that wound, and you are far less than who you're supposed to be. But even worse than that, you lose the authority as a prince to be marked as a prince, as a princess, as a son, as a daughter of God, to where you speak to darkness and it moves. Jesus showed us that way. And he spoke and he said to that tree, hey, listen, you're not producing the fruit you need to produce. I curse you. And the next day it was dried up. The figs, because it didn't have any figs. It was just all about leaves. It was about looking good, not about producing fruit. That's what that fig tree was, right? And he cursed it. He said, because you are not doing what your father created you to do. You say, well, he killed that tree. Well, I know the leaves dried up. But sometimes you got to strip some things off what is growing so it can become what it needs to become. Are you with me? Because it's not about looking good. It's about what you're producing, right? And so Jesus walked with that mark of royalty. That when he spoke, like, he didn't even have to half the time speak to demons. They come running and falling at his feet. Wouldn't that be awesome? Instead of having to wrestle with demons all the time, could it be that we haven't quite learned how to walk in the perfection, the royal perfection of having a pure heart connection and loving perfectly? Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that solve all of the problems in church fighting and hurting each other and gossiping and walking in disobedience and lacking intimacy with God and life being all about me and all of that stuff? If we just tended our heart connection with the Father, and out of that heart connection, he makes us aware of where our heart connection is being jeopardized in others. Does that make sense? Yes. Now, I say all that again. Because God did all of this so he could have that heart connection with sons and daughters. That's the whole point. But the problem is, we didn't tend our heart connection correctly. we allowed impurity to affect that heart connection, and the heart connection started to leak. That began in the garden. All that happened was that a fallen spirit whispered a suggestion that said, "Did God really say?" That's it. But because Adam and Eve did not tend, they weren't careful, they weren't intent about their heart connection, they didn't clean up that infection. Listen, when something was spilled on my dad, he didn't immediately get infection. My dad was kind of sloppy at times with things, right? And he would spill things, and it would go through his t-shirt, and it would get near his port. Well, he didn't immediately get infection. What he had to do was immediately, though, he had to go and they had to get, I don't know what it was, rubbing alcohol or some kind of disinfectant and get around that port, right? You had to be intentional, and you had to do it quickly. Quickly. Does that make sense? Quickly. And it's not just with individuals. It can be with people groups. Well, them Muslims. Well, them Democrats. Well, them Republicans. I had to balance it out, right? Yeah. Well, those homosexuals. Well, those transgenders. Well, fill in the blank. See, the problem is, I don't have a right to speak into that group if I don't have the love of God for them. I cannot affect darkness with light if I don't love, because if I don't love, I'm not operating in the eternal realm from heaven to earth. And if I'm not operating in the eternal realm, then I'm operating on a temporal basis, on a basis that's very limited, and I'm actually creating more damage on the earth. That doesn't mean that I don't say, hey, what you're doing is sin. I can do that and love. We've proven that here. I God had to deal with my heart when it came to, what's the term? People that are on Megan's list. Sex offender, child sex offenders. Like, because I was all about just, look, God, let's take them out on the back 40 and we'll deal with them. You know, shoot them all and let God sort them out. Yeah, that was real funny because, you know, that was how I thought in my history. But God had to break my heart and create love. Why? Because as soon as I did that, now I have, when I choose to forgive and release them, not say what they did was okay, hold them to a higher standard. But I can't hold them to anything eternal if I can't love. Are you with me? The moment that God dealt with me, literally, he had to break my heart. Because I said, God, I mean, I could feel his love. I could feel a groan and swelling on the inside of me. And I said, God, I just want to love bigger. I just want to love bigger, God. He said, oh, okay. He said, love sex offenders. Ooh, yuck, God, no, even you don't love sex offenders, don't I? If I don't love them, then I don't have any right to speak into their life. Of course I love them, son. They're messed up, and darkness did that to them. You're looking at the wrong source. I'm telling you. Now, here's what happened. Within 2 weeks, I said, okay, God, okay. I said, but we got to protect our kids here. He said, do you think that I would allow our children to be put in jeopardy? I am their shield. And within 2 weeks, I had a sex offender call the church and ask if he said, listen, I'm on Megan's list. He was very straightforward. And I've watched you guys online. Would it be okay if I could come? I'll sit in the back seat. I'll come late. I'll leave early. You can have someone posted with me. I just want to be part of a real people of God. I need help. Huh. Who am I to not allow that love to extend to that man? And I said, yes. I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to create a very safe place for you. Safe against others speaking against you, but safe where we're even protecting you against your own wrong desires. And so I had to get my servant team. We talked about it. We created a safe place. That guy attended here for like 9-10 months, and then he had to move away. And I'm telling you, it was brilliant. God did so many things. His first name was John, in John's life. But that could never happen if you don't deal with the infection around that heart connection, because it isn't just your infection toward other people. It really is the infection in your connection to God, because God loves. And if I choose not to love someone, then the problem is I'm not letting the love of God flow through me. And the thing is, I can't rid the earth of sex offenders if I can't speak into their life. So then darkness wins if I don't have the ability to speak into their life. Are you with me? I can't deal with drug abuse if I don't love the drug abusers. And then I have a right to speak into their life, and I'll speak hard into their life. And listen to me. I'm telling you, New Testament. This is New Testament. Peter loved. He was loving like Jesus loved. People are coming, and they're giving, and they're doing all these things. These two people came, and they had a wickedness in their heart that was going to infect the whole body of Christ, I believe. And when they came and they lied to Holy Spirit, Peter said, that's it, you're done. And both of them, one and then the other, dropped dead. That's love. No. You say, no, that's judgment. No, that's love. That's kingdom kind, that's heaven kind of love. And heaven kind of love has blessing as well as it deals with wickedness. It's not exempt of that. But see, when you don't walk as a prince, you don't have that kind of authority. You all know Charlie Coker. Listen, there are a number of occasions that Charlie has, he's been the last resort of people to come, and he's tried to get them right before God. And he's had to tell them, and he takes no pleasure in this, but he's had to tell about 7 to 10 people, listen to me, this is your last chance. If you don't stop that, God is going to kill you dead. 3 people within 3 weeks of him telling that wouldn't repent, gone. You say, well, that's not love. Yes, it is. It certainly is, if that's what God needs to occur. If the damage they would cause to remain on this earth would be greater than the blessing that they would be. Are you with me? Now listen, I haven't even gotten to my first verse yet, and I'm not going to. Maybe we'll talk about the rest of this next week, but here's what I want you to see. This is God's intention. Darkness in the form of the spirit of the age. The spirit of the age is a set of ideas, beliefs, and aims that is typical in people in a particular time in history for the express purpose of rendering impotent the function of the kingdom of God on the earth. Let me explain that again. The spirit of the age is a set of ideas, beliefs, and aims. And behind those ideas, beliefs, and aims is the spirits of darkness in a concerted effort that are taking and releasing ideas, thoughts, beliefs, shifting culture, so that it renders the kingdom of God powerless in that time. In other words, it is taking our heart connection with God and introducing infection that causes our connection with God to leak. Now, anyone can tell you, if you've ever worked on an engine, a gasoline engine, that that engine loses tremendous amounts of power with just the smallest leak in what's called a vacuum line. It'll cause that engine to lose it with just the smallest cut in a vacuum line. It can be getting gas, it can be getting all the air, but because of that, it diminishes its power to sometimes less than half of what it could otherwise have been. The same is true of the kingdom of God. It takes very little leaking to disempower the body of Christ. Now, the positive side is all we have to do is be intentional about our connection with the Father. We tend to that connection. All the other connections will work themselves out because the Father, if I'm connected to Him correctly, will cause me to work all of those out. He won't leave you alone if you've got unforgiveness towards someone. And if you ignore Him, okay, now it's your connection that's beginning to leak with the Father. The whole idea of the spirit of the age is to get you to leak. That's all. Just get you to leak. That's all darkness wants. Just get you to leak just a little bit. When you leak like that, you don't have that kingly authority. You don't have that where you walk into the room and devils fall down. How many would like that spirit of poverty to just fall down when you walk in the room? How many of you would like to have that spirit of rebellion to just fall down when you walk in the room? I don't know that Jesus had to shout and spit and slap people on their head and go through all kind of antics, worship for like 7.5 hours in order to get breakthrough. I don't think He did any of that. I think He walked in His kingly authority. He walked in the room and devils begin to fall down. Listen to me. You are that kind of son. You are that kind of daughter. That's who you are. And I'm telling you, it's getting on you. I can see it. I could hear it in your worship today. I could hear you growing. I hear ministry starting to pop. I'm telling you, some of you are coming to me and saying, "Hey, Pastor, God just won't leave me alone about this, but I've got to start this ministry. I got to start doing this. I'm telling you, I've never done anything like this before, but I'm telling you, God's just put a boldness on me that I've never had before, and here's what's going on right now." Come on, somebody. And listen, I'm telling you, tend that heart connection. Everything else happens. You got poverty on you right now? How many of you know that's a spirit? It could be the spirit of stupidity. And so God will change your thinking if you keep that heart connection right. Are you with me? If you got a spirit of sickness on you, how many of you know you maintain this, He takes care of everything else. Are you with me? If whatever thing out there, whatever darkness is out there affecting you, you walk in that kingly authority, you maintain this connection, and you walk in that kingly authority, and you just speak, and it bows down. Or better yet, you walk in the room, and you don't have to say a word, and it bows down. Does that make sense? Stand up with me as we close. Well, thank you, Lord. I didn't use one scripture that I had. I think we'll talk about that more next week because I want to go in deeper about that. Spirit of God. So just close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. I'll stand still, Greg. Hey, if you're watching, you're at home or wherever you're at, if you're watching, this is for you. If you're listening right now, if you're listening live or recorded, it doesn't matter. The Spirit of God's eternal. But this is for you. Just put your hand on your heart. I stayed in a hotel room with Tim Taylor. That's Jack's son. And Tim has a CPAP to help him sleep. And we're, it's in the middle, it's probably 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And I hear, and I'm like, in Jesus' name, what is that? I thought it was a devil or something. And then it stopped for a second, and I realized what it was. His CPAP was leaking, and he probably slobbered a little bit. You know, if you get a really good sleep, you know what I'm talking about, right? That's one of them, you wake up with your pillow wet, you know that was a good one, you know? But his CPAP was leaking, it was making that sound. There was just a slight amount of leak. Well, here's what he told me. He said, when that happens, though, I don't get the effect of the CPAP machine, right? Because it was leaking. So like with your hand on your heart right now, go ahead, put your hand on your heart. Come on, everybody, put your hand on your heart. Come on. And just close your eyes. And just recognize if there's some infection there. You don't have to sort it all out now. Do that when you spend your time alone with the Lord. Just right now, take that. It's not alcohol that you have to put around to remove that infection. There's only one thing. There's only one substance known in the universe that can heal that kind of infection. And what I want you to do is just reach back 2,000 years to when our elder brother allowed soldiers to beat the flesh off of his body, and his blood splattered the ground. He did that for you, for moments like this. And I want you to just see yourself reaching and touching your hand in that pool of blood and just taking and rubbing that pure and perfect disinfectant around that connection. Just say, Jesus, thank you for your blood. Thank you for removing the infection. He'll work out your thinking. He'll work out what you need to do later, but you got to get that taken care of right now. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for the way that you love me. And then just put that connection back on and listen to it. There's no... And you feel it. You can feel God's love. And in places that you couldn't forgive yesterday, you can forgive today. Places that you were afraid yesterday, you're not afraid. Because His love is more than enough. Places where you felt lonely yesterday, you don't feel lonely today. Because His love is more than enough. Places you were hurting and sick, He just takes it away, because the love of God doesn't just cover, it dispossesses anything that is not of the kingdom of God. And so, Father, now in the mighty name of Jesus, because of His perfect love, because He chose to walk in perfect forgiveness, He chose to love with that royal love that can only come from a son, a daughter of God, loving and receiving love from their Father. Because he did that, we can do that now too. So just say this right now to Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for resealing, reseating the connection to the Father. Help me in the days ahead, in the weeks ahead, in the months and years ahead, to be very intentional, to be very careful about this connection. And here's what I say to you, Father. I'll do as your love demands. Wait. Be careful. Be careful. There's no stubbornness in love. There's no resentment in love. There's no unforgiveness in love. Love is gentle. Love is kind. Love is patient. There's no bragging. There's no room for placing myself above others. There's just your love flowing through me, where I feel loved and I can love others. And that's probably the best way that I can love you, Father, is when I love those who you love. So heal me. Help me walk all this out. But most of all, help me to be intentional about my heart connection to you. In Jesus' name. Someone give God a hand clap right now. Father, Father, I feel such pleasure from heaven for what they've just done. You're so proud of your sons and daughters. I just hear the Lord saying, yeah, but I can't wait to see when they walk in that kingly authority, that once what once stood before them as giants and mountains will now bow down. Father, bless them, keep them. Make your face to shine on them. Lift up your countenance on them now and give them your peace, your grace. Help us to become royal lovers of this earth. Those who occupy this earth, Lord, and then we can speak your kingdom in Jesus' mighty name. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen. City Church, go and be blessed. I'll see you next week. You have something specific? Hey, listen, if anyone, even after that, you're like, yeah, but I just, there's something in my heart I just need to deal with. Listen, we have those who pray up here with you, and so come. If you have something physical going on in your body and you need breakthrough, then and you just need a little bit of help, then come. We'll pray for you. Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church, and you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.